This is First Nation Ministries. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to Native American tribes throughout North America, providing food, clothing, and other life essentials. Now here are your hosts, Deborah Klein and Marv Boettcher. We'll pick up where we left off on Tuesday as Debbie continues with her message, Can We Know God? Do We Know God? Really Know Him?
Christians throughout history have explained the relationship between saving faith and good works this way. Faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is never alone. If you're truly a child of God, your relationship with Him will express itself in a transformed life. Real faith always leads to real fruit. Paul urged in Philippians 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But he added that it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So when God adopts you into His family, He plants within you new thoughts and desires, and He expects you to live out the changes He makes within you. It's one of the most important ways to tell whether you're truly a child of God. A true relationship with God will change everything about you. And to put it another way, a relationship with God that does not change everything about you is not a relationship with God. Pretty simple when you boil it down to that.
Amen.
So finding certainty in life's most important relationship involves a determination with your whole soul to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And as we do this, God will satisfy that inner certainty that we all crave. We will know that we belong to Him. So let's just review a few things. It's not enough just to pray the sinner's prayer or to walk forward to the altar at the invitation. It's not enough to simply remember a time in your past when you made a decision for Christ. It's not enough just to attend church, to tithe, to teach Sunday school, preach sermons, commit yourself to religious activities. It's not enough to dive into spiritual experiences apart from relationship with God. It's not enough to live a good life or be a good person. It's not enough to profess that you have faith in Christ if your life never shows any evidence of new life. So how does believing the promises of God assure me of my salvation? John Calvin said, it is the word of God alone which can first and effectually cheer the heart of the sinner. There is no true or solid peace to be enjoyed in the world except in the way of resting upon the promises of God. You've heard the saying that a promise is only as good as the business behind it. The same is true in our personal lives. A promise is only as good as the character of the person who makes that promise. And if it's true in business and with people, shouldn't we be able to hold God to the same principle? Do we believe that God will keep His promises to us? And do we know Him well enough to trust the person behind the promise? You know, when we enter into marriage with someone and we recite vows, we trust that our mate will keep the promise. Why? Because we've come to know that person. We know the person's character, their motives, their record, their heart. Still, placing trust in people, letting down of suspicions and safeguard is risky. It's just part of the human experience to be hurt by someone or something that we've put our trust in. We have all been wounded by people who promise to change, promise to deliver, promise to watch our back, promise to be there when we needed them, and they broke their promises. Husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, employers, employees, friends, pastors, even our own children have dashed our hopes, maybe abused our trust, violated our sense of loyalty, and we end up asking ourselves, is there anyone I can trust? If a promise is only as good as the character of the one who makes that promise, then we have to conclude that because of sin, no one's character is good enough to guarantee security. We've all broken promises and we've all suffered the consequences. But what about God? Is God's character good enough that we can trust his promises? The Bible takes this question seriously, and it reveals to us a God who invites and merits our absolute confidence. Titus 1:2 says, God never breaks promises, he never lies. When he makes promises, we can trust them without question, for they are absolutely right and true. You can read about that in Numbers 23:19. And with him, our hearts and our hopes are forever safe. If we're ever going to enter into a love relationship with God and experience the certainty he promises, the place to start is to get to know him, his character, and his heart. And from there, if we're persuaded by what we learn, we can more naturally move into a settled trust that he will keep his promises. But it's just the beginning. To experience the certainty that we have a relationship with God, we have to begin to believe God's promises. We must truly take him at his word and act on it. And thankfully, God has made wonderful promises to sinners like you and me, promises that we can bank on. And because of his character, we can be certain that he will never fail us or falter in what he has promised to do. You know, over the last several years, social researchers have consistently found that 85 to 90% of Americans believe in God. But who is this divine being that they say they believe in? A recent study from Baylor University found that Americans actually believe in one of four different gods. They may agree that God exists, but they do not agree on what God is like, what God wants. The study gave God each a different name based on the dominant characteristic that the people use to describe their deity. One is the authoritarian God, the God who is judgmental, but he is directly engaged with the world. And then there's the benevolent God, a God who is not judgmental, but he still intervenes actively in our lives. And then there's the distant God, who doesn't interact much, if at all, in our lives. And then there's the critical God. It's a God who doesn't intervene in our lives, but who nonetheless is displeased with what we're doing in the world. And so these results suggest several important things for our discussion here. One is that we should realize that when we talk about God, what we communicate may be received in an entirely different way than what we intended. We shouldn't be surprised when people show reluctance to trust him with their lives, because clearly a lot of American Christians do not know the God that they profess to believe in. With the help of the Bible, we can examine the real character of God to see whether we can take him at his word. And so when we come back next week, and I hope you'll join us, we're going to look at some attributes or characteristics of God that will give us the confidence we need to believe in his promises. I hope this study is helping some of you. Like I said, it's helping me. It's helping me get it clearly in my mind, what I believe, why I believe it. It's easy to get confused. There's a lot of different opinions out there, a lot of different books being written. But if you study the scripture, I think that makes it pretty clear. But you have to study the whole thing and try to, you know, get the whole full picture. And I want to have this so clearly in my heart so that when we go door to door out on the reservation, that I will be ready to answer questions like the Bible says we should be.
Amen.
I'm just sorry it's taken me so long. And again, thank you, teammates, for all that you are doing to make this ministry possible. And for you that are listening maybe and you haven't got in on the action, as my dad used to say, get in on the action so that you can get in on the blessing. The Bible says in Psalms 41, 1-3, blessed is he who considereth the poor. There's a lot of talk about casinos and help from government and stipends from the tribe that, you know, the Native American people are living high, but they're not. And even on the reservations that have money, there's corruption. So that the Native people at the top, they and their families and their friends may be doing well, but the little guys at the bottom, there's still hunger on the reservation and need for food and clothing and school supplies. And by the way, school will be starting soon. If you want to help with school supplies, just please bring them in. I'm gonna put my cell phone number out there today because we still don't have an answering machine on our phone. If you need to get a hold of me, which you always should get a hold of us before you come over here to make sure someone will be at the office, my cell number is 360-314-7072. And if you want to grab a pen, I'll say it again. 360-314-7072. And we can make sure that somebody's here, and whatever you do, we're so thankful. Thank you for joining us. Tune in next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to First Nation Ministries, where our goal is to reach out to the Native American tribes throughout the country and share Jesus Christ with them. We do it through an act of love by providing much-needed food, clothing, bedding, and just those basic things they simply don't have. You can help us by donating those basic necessities to First Nation that would in turn be driven and delivered to our Native brothers and sisters. God made it clear to our founder, Don Klein, many years ago to reach out to these hurting people, and we want to continue that vision to take the powerful message of Christ to our Native American family. Thank you so much. I love to tell the story. You can help us reach our Native American brothers and sisters with your prayers and financial gifts. Please write to us at First Nation Ministries, Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. That's Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. You can call us at 503-477-6077, 503-477-6077, and visit our website at firstnationministries.org.